who was attacking Rome. They had Rome under siege with Nubian 7-foot black spearsmen and elephants. And the people were terrified. Many of them never seen a fucking elephant. And a 7-foot black guy, hundreds and thousands of them wielding spears. I mean, they were terrified. They defeated every Roman army put up against them. And so they got together and they decided that what they had to do was they had to give almost dictatorial powers to a general that had a plan. And that general's name was Fabius. And that's where you get the word Fabian. Fabius decided that what he would run is a hit and run operation against Carthage from the perimeter. Meanwhile, Rome would be building up its fleet. And that's what happened. They built up their fleet and they attacked Carthage directly from Rome, even though Rome itself was under siege. And they destroyed Carthage. And this is how they were able to win. They decided that they would adopt a policy of gradualism or incrementalism to take over the world. And they were fulfilling the vision of Francis Bacon in his book entitled The New Atlantis. They knew that they could marshal the resources, including the human resources of especially the Americas, Canada, U.S., Central, North, South America, to essentially take over the world. This is what they did.
Well,
what Keynes is saying in this quote is that whereas the Marxian socialists would appeal to the rabble-rousers, the wage slaves, you know, the guys with the pitchfork, the farmers, you know, the toothless wonders that worked in the fields, you know, and get them all to come attack the palace. The Fabians had a better idea. They went after the pretty people, the smart people, the people that came from middle class and prominent, well-to-do families, because they understood that true socialist movements sprung from the middle and upper classes and not from the hoi polloi or the proletariat. We were duped, all of us, that went out and got college educations and wanted to excel and be successful in this society. Those are the people that they marshaled just to their cause, in their support. And that's why you've got all these big shots from these big corporations, these multinational corporations that are fully on board with this entire communitarian, sustainable development, green agenda. Because they understand that they have to play ball.
I just want to read that. I'm just recording this too because it is good. So,
I mean, people like Vicky. I love Vicky, but see, Vicky grew up in a time when the choices for women were they could become a nurse, a doctor, or they could become a secretary, or they could be a business owner. You know, those were the kind of professions that a lot of women thought they had. In my mother's time, you know, she thought the best thing that she could do or be was a secretary, an executive secretary, because she was a good typist. And she had a good command of the English language. Well, people like Vicky got on board with this. I mean, she was part of that group after World War II that knew that the future belonged to this high tech world. It was a high tech world. And she excelled. She became a systems thinker, a coder, a programmer. But she was used. I was used. I thought the most important thing a person could do in this life is to be a chef, a restaurateur, a caterer, bring people together in communion at the table. Mm-hmm. Healthy food. I got out of the business in 94 because I suffered all those years knowing that I was participating in poisoning my patrons. Because they've poisoned the food supply in this country. Factory farm. you know, these factory farmers and ranchers that poison their provender that gets put on your table, these people are not heroes of mine. You realize a lot of these people are actually paid by the government not to grow something? This all came from the time of FDR. And his administration during World War II was crawling with communists. Vicky herself said today that she is not so sure that Americans won World War II at all. She was 100% right. We lost World War II because the U.S. government was already bankrupted in the early 30s. It was bankrupted.
That's a good point.
And it's still in bankruptcy today. We are in hock to our receivers. These bankers are taken over because they've got all the power. Who do you think signs the check of those people in the Congress, on the Supreme Court, the State House, the White House? It's these same bankers that took us over. We've been conquered. Ron McDonald, who was a guest for 5 years, every Monday on RBN, co-wrote a book. He actually wrote the book. It was called They Own It All, Including You by Means of Toxic Currency. The title says it all.
It's catchy.
It's more than catchy. Hell, you can read it. I mean, and right now they are buying everything and everyone in sight. Because, I mean, what is it that Adam Weishaupt said? Oh, silly man, what will you not do? In other words, every man's got his price. You know, Mark Twain said in Cornerstone Opinions, you tell me what a man does to earn his corn pone, and I'll tell you what his opinions is. Do you think the guy that's driving that truck full of fluoride to the water treatment plant realizes he's part of organized crime? No, he goes to church twice a week. He's got two kids. He pays his bills on time. He's a good American. His employer thinks he's, you know, hung the moon. He's a first-class, first-rate employer. But he is delivering the poison to the water treatment plants that's been poisoning Americans for 50 years.
So, Lark, can I just read that one more time, that quote you put in there? Because it really is, that's an excellent quote. And just to, you know, encapsulize this a little bit more, can I read it again?
Pardon me?
Do you mind if I read that quote again? I'm recording this, so I'm going to probably
This quote is extremely important, you know, because it explains it all. The best and the brightest, the beautiful people, the trust fund babies, the best, brightest amongst us are the ones that are actually the most brainwashed, and they are leading us toward the abyss, which is universal enslavement. Continue, please.
Okay, well, it says the Fabians were more realistic than the Marxian socialists. They understood that it is much easier to subvert sons, daughters, and wives of prominent and well-to-do than it is to impress the laboring classes. They also understood that socialist movements sprang from the middle and upper classes and not from the proletariat.
And that's from John Maynard Keynes in an address at Harvard University right after World War II. We already had the first GATT treaty. We were already in Bretton Woods. You know, the government was the corporation known as the U.S. government was still in receivership to its lenders, to its creditors. We've never come out of bankruptcy. I mean, do you think these people that supposedly represent us give one damn, one piddly damn about the national debt? That's in the trillions of dollars? No, they don't, do they? And do we honestly think that any of these damn people represent us at all? No, they do not.
Yep, amen.
Many of these politicians today, they literally have to sign non-compete, non-disclosure agreements. This is especially true of your county commissioners, your mayors, your governors, all your big city mayors and more. The U.S. Conference of Mayors, every single governor of this country is a syndicalist. The National Governors Association. You can read about the Republican National Committee, which is the funding arm of the GOP. They are members in good standing of the IDU, which is the International Democratic Union, IDU.org. They are syndicalists and they are communitarians. A syndicalist is a socialist. Ludwig von Mises talked about corporativist and syndicalist in his magnum opus entitled Human Action. Remember, it was Rockefeller money that set up the Mises Institute in Alabama. Ludwig von Mises was, you know, he was a Rockefeller man.
Can you talk about the ism religion?
Which one?
Well, I just mean in general. That's one of the things that you talk about on your website. You talk about the different isms.
Well, see, ism is just simply a school of thought. Mm-hmm. And within every school of thought, there are always variances of opinion. It's just that simple. It's no biggie. You know, I'm going to tell you something. The very first entry at my website is called Trust Your Gut. It takes all of 1 minute to read. It speaks to two words, instinct and intuition. Now, presuming you know what those two words mean and how they attach to your own life, now I challenge you to actually look these words up in an encyclopedia, instinct and intuition. And guess what? There's a million other words attached to these words that you never even gave a thought to. But this is what we stand to lose in this system of governance known as communitarianism. They will breed it out of us. They're going to force us into smart cities. They want us off the land. I mean, this is where it's going if we don't stop it. We have to quell it. We have to call these people out for the ass wipes that they are, because they're just too stupid or too criminally oriented to give a damn except about feathering their own nest. I mean, these people are not qualified to represent you and me. They're not. If they don't know about communitarianism, they are a dupe. If they do, then they're a shill. But whatever, dupe or shill, the result is the same. These people are going to do everything to get reelected, and they want to be part of the club because it's kind of cool, everybody kissing their ass. You know? I don't consider these people better than me any more than I consider the Pope or the Queen of England. This is what it means to be an American. We don't kiss the Pope's ring, and we don't bow down before the Queen. Mm-hmm. Americans historically thought of themselves as sovereigns without subjects, and we were attached to the golden rule.
And what is the golden rule for people not up to speed?
Well, there's different ways to phrase it. And there's a similar credo within every religion on the face of the earth. But do unto others, you'd have others do unto you.
And you know what, this whole thing, I don't know if you caught much of what I was explaining earlier with the situation in Boise. If you could see all the different, I was watching it from a 40,000 foot view as it was happening. And I'll tell you what, it was really eerie. I mean, now that I've gotten to understand a little bit what communitarianism is, and to see the community push back against people just trying to assert their individual rights is extremely, it's scary to see it happening in real time now.
Well, let me also explain to you this, you know, community has become a weasel word in today's lexicon. Everybody says, oh, I know what community is. That's a nice thing. That's a nice cosseting word for, you know, everybody kind of pulling together and watching each other's back and all this kind of stuff. This is how they promote this word community. Okay, but it's a weasel word, like the word constitutional. I mean, most people today, you can't get 10 people together to even agree what the Constitution is or what it says or what it did say and which version are you referring to. You know what I mean? It's like that word liberal or conservative, more weasel words. You can't get people to agree what these words even mean. So I don't use them. I especially don't like that word community because it got hijacked by the communitarians and they're using it to buffalo jump to deceive an entire population of people. And it's shameful and it's saddening at the same time.
Yeah, and it sure does work like a charm on a certain segment of the population, that's for sure.
I mean, these young people don't have a clue. I'm confused. The community's good, you know? Sustainable, that sounds good too. You know, I mean, I don't want to, you know, pollute the planet, and I don't want to kill the whales and all this kind of stuff. You know, I'm a good boy. I'm a good girl. I wouldn't want to do anything like that. See, these people have studied us more than any other creature in history. They know us better than we know ourselves. They've got the best and brightest behaviorist, political scientist, economist, I mean, philosophers, legal beagles. They've got the best and the brightest that have studied us, and they know how to work us. Everything that comes from your television is 100% agitprop. And why do we know? Because the people that coined the word coined it during the time of the Bolshevik Revolution. Joseph Stalin said, we will rule by slogans.
Yeah, that's pretty eerie. And
so in other words, when I say we're being buffalo jumped, you know what I mean when I say that?
Well,
the Amerindians, the Plains Indians in particular, would herd a portion, they would steer or stampede a small portion of a herd of bison toward a ravine or a cliff purposefully in order to be able to harvest the meat because they would be frightened to death. And they would herd them towards the edge of a cliff or a ravine or whatever. And that way they would have enough meat to last through the winter.
That's an excellent analogy.
And that's what's happening to the American people. We are being buffalo jumped.
Well, I mean, outside of education, I mean, how do you think people fight back against this?
You have to, first of all, what I would suggest is go to my website and read an entry entitled 9 words. And then ask yourself, are you part of the problem or are you part of the solution? Very simply. And I tell them in the 9 words, the first 3 words are compliant, complacent, and complicit. If you are one, you're probably all three. It tells you, are you part of the problem or part of the solution? You have to pull yourself out of the matrix. You have to decide that you want to live your life on your terms, assuming you don't want to harm anybody else. I don't want to harm anybody else. Am I correct to say that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yep.
Well, most people are that way. But what they don't realize is when they go to work for these large organizations, these large collectivist entities like corporations, like the U.S. military, like Uncle Sammy's government or whatever, they're just following orders. They have no clue what the whole picture is, because they're just, I'm just doing my job, man. Remember Freddie Prinze?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just doing my job, man. Or that's not my job, man. You know? Well, that's how most Americans think. Well, I'm just doing my part, you know. I'm only the salesman in this company, or I'm just the guy that, you know, works the this portion of the assembly line. You know, I'm just doing, I can only do my job because it's a hard job. And it takes all my energy and all my attention. So they don't see the picture. But when you look at communitarianism, you have to look at it from the framework of how it is that you would like to live your life, how it is you want your loved ones to live their lives. You know, we all want the best for each other. We want the best. And these masters of disasters would have us believe that this life is one of scarcity, which is a damn lie, because this life is one of abundance. And they love it when we fight with each other. They just love it. Pick a side, any side. Now go at it. This is how they engineer all their policy initiatives, you know, to go in the direction that they want to see it go. And most of the time, just like tax policy, domestic and foreign policy, it serves the interest of the very rich. The people are only used to be able to put it into effect. Let's put it this way. You must see, we've all been socially engineered, whether we want to, you know, admit it or not, all of us, from the time we were born. The bottom line is that first, you must engineer the buy-in. Then leave it to the techno slaves to implement the vision. This is how we're being played and deceived. The buy-in is, I said, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. Yeah, I'm all for that. Yeah, I'm good with that. Oh, you're going to pay me too. Oh, really? And benefits. Wow, cool. I'm all in. This is how we're easily deceived and easily moved to action. All of us. But a lot of times, this allowing ourselves to be moved to action by others does not work out to be in our best interest. And anybody that's lived to be 30 years old has learned that the hard way already. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. Yep. Yep. The propaganda is just, well, of course, my whole life it's been on a fevered pitch, and it's definitely gotten worse now in the last handful of years. But, you know, thanks for explaining that to us, Lark, so that we, you know, better understand how we're being controlled.
So. Well, I mean, I wish I could be more articulate. I'm doing this off the cuff. You know?
This is great.
But, you know, I'm an older guy, and, you know, I've lived, you know. But like I said, you know, I don't trust the white coats. They murdered my mother in 96. I dropped out of the system in 97. I was angry. They murdered my dad in 2003 and my sister 4 months later. In 2011, they murdered my brother. Guess what? All my nuclear family's gone. I'm the only one left. I didn't grow up knowing uncles, cousins, grandparents like most people. And I was a military brat. I moved around. I was always the new guy in class. I have a unique perspective in many ways on the world. So I'm only trying to be of service. I'm trying to be helpful to people. I've never for a nickel for anything I've ever done. And I'm no hero. What I try to tell people is you need to be your own hero, because you are. You are unique. You're one of a kind. They never made another one before you. There'll never be another one after you. You're unique in all of, where each one of us is unique in all of creation. And this must be respected. You can learn from anything and anyone, And that alone should be enough to respect them and to treat them with kindness. I don't hate anybody. Nobody. It doesn't do me any good to hate people.
Yeah.
Because I can learn from everybody I encounter. And you can make more friends with honey than with vinegar. And I need all the friends I can get. One thing I need more than anything else is I need techies to come to my aid and use me. I don't want to be the star. I don't want to even be the voice necessarily. I just want this damn word to get out. I want people to talk about it that have brains.
Well, it certainly is getting out there because of your hard work, you know, trying to do so. I'm hearing it now all the time on certain radio shows. I would say it's definitely being used more than it was a couple of years ago. Wouldn't you say?
Well, I would say so, but you want to know something? We're 20 years behind. We got a lot of catching up to do.
We do, but at least people are starting to wake up. It seems like at a more rapid pace now. How can people want to plug your website one more time? How can people find you?
Just type in any search engine, Larkin, Texas. Larkin, Texas, three words. Do that on YouTube. Do it on any search engine. You can go to my newest website, which is simply tinyurl.com. /Larkin, Texas. You might encounter my old website, which is entitled Just an American. But you'll find that too on the first page of any search engine, Larkin, Texas.
And then do you recommend people read? I remember you always recommended that people read Larkin Communitarianism and Communitarianism First Things First.
Well, let's put it this way. My new website, you can read everything there in under 45 minutes. Take your time. Every article tells you how long it estimated read time is. The very first entry, trust your gut, takes 1 minute to read. And then you have to ask yourself, well, does it mean anything to me or not? Yes or no? But I always like to tell people to start out, if you want just a short read, start out with On Communitarianism, Collected Musings. It's the article entry that begins with an asterisk in its title, a star, On Communitarianism, Collected Musings, April 2020. Then read Communitarianism, First Things First. That sounds logical. Read that, Communitarianism, First Things First, or type it in any search engine. The same with Lark on Communitarianism. Type it in any search engine, or just find it right there in one page and one simple little short scroll at tinyurl.com/Larkin, Texas, which you'll find if you never remember that, if all you remember is Larkin, Texas. And by the way, I always try to recognize the people, the giants whose shoulders I stand on. You know, people like Bobby Garner, Nikki Rapana, Vicki Davis, Robin Eubanks. There are so many out there that are doing really fantastic work, and they're much better researchers and a whole lot brighter than I am. I, though, try to present the big people, big picture in as simple and as few a word as possible. So at least you have a starting point. But what really matters more than anything is that you find out and ask yourself, do these words resonate with me, yes or no? It's just like when you read all those isms, those list of isms at Lark on Communitarianism. That's the title of the entry, Lark on Communitarianism. Each one of those words, I defined very briefly what they mean. It's up to you if they resonate or have any meaning or anything in your life. And if they don't, hell, just discard them. Forget about them.
Okay, well, thank you.
The main thing is that you mm-hmm. think for yourself and be the heroic person that you are, you know, and then you need to demand that just like you would want the best for everybody else. You want the best for yourself. Love yourself. How can you possibly love other things and other people if you haven't practiced? Start by loving yourself.
Yep, it starts with us, that's for sure. Well, thanks. Thank you, Lark, for sharing that with us today. I really appreciate your time today.
Well, thanks. It was enjoyable for me as well. Nice talking to you, of course.
Yeah, well, thanks. And then check out Lark's website, everybody.
Help independent journalism thrive. If you enjoyed this content, help with a donation through Cash App at North Idaho Exposed or on Venmo, North Idaho Exposed. Thank you.